your Bibles, turning with me to Ezekiel chapter 13. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy, and say to those who prophesy from their own inspiration, listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who are following their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, your prophets have been like foxes among ruins. You have not gone up into the breaches, nor did you build up the wall around the house of Israel to stand in the battle on the day of the Lord. They see falsehood and lying divination who are saying, the Lord declares, when the Lord has not sent them. Yet they hope for the fulfillment of their word. Did you not see a false vision and speak a lying divination when you said, the Lord declares, but it is not I who have spoken? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken falsehood and seen a lie, therefore, behold, I am against you, declares the Lord God. So my hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will have no place in the council of my people, nor will they be written down in the register of the house of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel, that you may know that I am the Lord. It is definitely because they have misled my people by saying peace, when there is no peace. And when anyone builds a wall, behold, they plaster it over with whitewash. So tell those who plaster it over with whitewash that it will fall. A flooding rain will come, and you, O hailstones, will fall, and a violent wind will break out. Behold, when the wall has fallen, will you not be asked, where is the plaster with which you plastered it? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will make a violent wind break out in my wrath. There will also be in my anger a flooding rain and hailstones to consume it in wrath. So I will tear down the wall which you plastered over with whitewash and bring it down to the ground so that its foundation is laid bare. And when it falls, you will be consumed in its midst, and you will know that I am the Lord. Thus I will spend my wrath on the wall and on all who have plastered it over with whitewash. And I will say to you, the wall is gone, and its plasterers are gone, along with the prophets of Israel who prophesy to Jerusalem and who see visions of peace for her, when there is no peace, declares the Lord. Now you, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who are prophesying from their own inspiration. Prophesy against them and say, thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic bands on all wrists and make veils for the heads of persons of every stature to hunt down lives. Will you hunt down the lives of my people, but preserve the lives of others for yourselves? For handfuls of barley and fragments of bread you have profaned me to my people to put to death some who should not die, and to keep others alive who should not live by your lying, and to my people who listen to lies. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against your magic bands by which you hunt down there as birds, and I will tear them from your arms, and I will let them go, even those lives whom you hunt as birds. I will also tear off your veils and deliver my people from your hands, and they will no longer be in your hands to be hunted, and you will know that I am the Lord. Because you disheartened the righteous with falsehood when I did not cause him grief, but have encouraged the wicked not to turn from his wicked way and preserve his life. Therefore, you women will no longer see false visions or practice divination, and I will deliver my people out from your hand. Thus you will know that I am the Lord. This morning we come and we deal with both men and women who were leading the people astray prophets and prophetesses who were telling the people, it's going to be just fine, it's going to be all right, don't worry about a thing. Last week we went to Ezekiel chapter 11, and we dealt there with the whole task of preaching, the whole task of prophecy, of a man lifting up his voice and declaring what God had said, the task of preaching, and underscoring that preaching can bring about life, and preaching can bring about death, even death as is shown here in Ezekiel 11, verse 13, how that a man dies in the middle of the sermon. Well, this morning we come rather not to the task of preaching, but to the type of preacher. All through the Old Testament, through the New Testament, all through Christian history, false prophets have been legion. And this morning, as we heard Anna read from 1 Kings chapter 22, one of the most dramatic and powerful confrontations that took place with Micaiah standing among 400 others who were prophesying good concerning the king of Israel and saying, go up and prosper. And Micaiah, he comes and he stands alone. He stands the solitary individual to say what God had really spoken. Prophecy. How do we know the difference? This isn't a question that's just recently been asked, though people do ask it today. This is a question that goes back more than 3,000 years. And if we come to the book of Deuteronomy, Moses, he anticipated in his great sermon that the people would need to know, they would need to have some understanding as to how it is that a preacher be weighed in the balance. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 18, and we begin with verse 15. And the first point is, does what the preacher speaks, does it come about? Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, again, Moses giving his final sermon and giving so much rich wisdom for the people of his day as well as for us also. He says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you. From your countrymen, you shall listen to him. This is according to all that you asked of the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see this great fire any more, or I will die. The Lord said to me, they have spoken well. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. It shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet, the preacher who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. You may say in your heart, how will we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. You shall not listen to him. Now that's a bit of a difficult litmus test, isn't it? Sometimes the words that the prophets were speaking to us, it did not happen in the immediate context. It happened only down the road. But here was something that the people were shown, you shall not listen to that prophet whose word is proven to be false. You shall not listen to anything that they have to say. Back up a little bit in Deuteronomy. Here is another very key test which is given to us, Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verses 1 to 4. Moses, once again, the great prophet, the emancipator through whom God brought the people out of Egyptian bondage, he says, "If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives a sign or a wonder," and who isn't amazed by some dazzling display? It draws a crowd. "And the sign or the wonder comes true concerning which he spoke to you, saying, 'Let us go after other gods whom you have not known.'" And there were many to choose from. There was no shortage of gods in their day. "And let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, and serve him and cling to him." So first of all, we have this word in Deuteronomy 18. "Do not fear that prophet whose word does not come about." And here in Deuteronomy 13 also, "Do not fear the preacher, do not fear or attend to the prophet who counsels rebellion against the Lord and against God's word." There are other litmus tests of a true preacher, a true prophet. We could go to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20, and Jesus saying, "By their fruits you shall know them." But here in Ezekiel chapter 13, Ezekiel is called by God to deal with this vicious problem and the constant flow of those who would presume to take the banner of Christ and of God and counsel people against what God has plainly declared. Sometimes we race past verses of Scripture which we ought to just meditate on and let it sink into us. The first verse of Ezekiel chapter 13 is a verse that we've heard many times before, and we'll hear it many times again. "Then the word of the Lord came to me saying," you see that at the head of chapter 12. You see that in the midway point of chapter 11 in verse 14. And elsewhere, time and time again, "the word of the Lord," Ezekiel says, "came to me saying." Well, here is the test that Ezekiel had communed with God, that he had been in the very presence of God, and so he speaks out against those who had no concern, no care for the presence of God, and therefore did not speak for God. You remember when Paul was on that tempestuous voyage, the shipwreck that he would be a part of, and in the middle of the night, an angel comes and speaks words of encouragement to Paul, saying, "Paul, you're going to get there. And everyone on this ship is also going to make their destination. You're just going to lose the cargo, and you're going to lose all the boards that are underneath you, but human life shall be spared." And the angel says, "I am one who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you." Here, Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 1. Ezekiel was a man who had been sent by God with God's word, and he comes, and in stark contrast, he speaks against those prophets who were prophesying not by the inspiration of God's Spirit working and stirring within their hearts, but rather through their own conjured up inspiration, and saying, listen to the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is something that is so precious. It is something that is so unique, it is not to be tampered with. Micaiah, he understood that. And though in 1 Kings chapter 22, we have rich sarcasm as Micaiah comes into the presence of Jehoshaphat and Ahab and says, go up and prosper, you're going to do just fine. And the sarcasm was dripping just so thick that Ahab, he says, come on, Micaiah, I hate it, I despise it, but let's hear what you really have to say. And then he shares truth with the king, who really didn't want to hear it. Here in Ezekiel 13, we're dealing with the type of preacher that you ought to be listening to. This is a difficult task for any preacher to take up because it seems to be so self-asserting and it seems to be so self-congratulatory. But here, wherever you fellowship, whatever voice you listen to at present or whatever preaching you might listen to in the future, God has given Ezekiel 13 that you might understand that not everyone who stands up and reads out of the scripture and who declares or who would want to wear the badge of Christian ministry is going to tell you what you really need to hear and need to know. In 1 Kings chapter 22, once again, Micaiah was alone. He was a solitary individual. He stuck to his guns. He held his ground amidst the flood. We think of Elijah on Mount Carmel and all those who would come against him. But once again, Elijah, solitary. But as he complains to the Lord, he realizes he was not alone. Ahab, he said, Micaiah only prophesies that which is evil against me, and I hate him. Here is a mark, a badge of spiritual maturity, that someone can smack you in the face, that someone can club you over the head, and that instead of being offended, instead of running from that place, that you can carefully analyze and evaluate and say, is this God speaking? Do you remember in Galatians how that Paul had a vicious confrontation with the Apostle Peter? Now, if Paul wanted to take on a mighty foe, he chose well in Peter. What can we say about Peter? One of the very first that Jesus had picked up along the Sea of Galilee, one of those who were on the very front row in every situation, even in the transfiguration, at the crucifixion, at the resurrection, and on, Peter was there. Peter was front and center on the day of Pentecost, when he was the one among all of the other apostles who stood up and spoke and preached on that day. But Peter was rebuked by Paul, as Paul speaks in Galatians, because he was pulling away from Gentile believers and setting himself aside. And Paul had to come and he had to sort of smack his brother upside the head and say, hey, wake up, what's going on here? Don't you realize what you are doing, the rift that is being made? Ahab said, I hate him. I hate him. Well, you see, the reason why Ahab hated Micaiah was that Ahab was a babe, though he sat on the throne. Ahab was puny. He was absolutely nothing. His spiritual muscles had so atrophied and shriveled, there was nothing left. And so when the word of God came to him, word that he could have taken and sought life in, taken warning from, he said, I hate it, I despise it, it's all bad, it's never good, it's never what I want to hear. I want to hear good, but it's never what I want to hear. Ezekiel comes and he speaks to these prophets and prophetesses, and he speaks very sternly. He speaks a word of warning. Hear once again what he has to say. These prophets, they are described like little foxes that go among the ruins. They are described like those who would whitewash over a wall that's about to tumble. A wall that needs to be torn down and built up once again from the very foundation. But these guys are coming along and they're just saying, oh, peace, peace, everything is fine, everything is good, you'll do just fine. But you see, the word of the Lord was that judgment was coming upon the city of Jerusalem, and these people who were there in the midst of this city, in the midst of the wickedness and continuing to participate in it, they were under God's judgment, but they were utterly, utterly unaware of it. And those who should have been shouting out in the streets words of life, they were smoothing it over and saying, it's all going to be okay. Verse 7, did you not see a false vision and speak a lying divination when you said, the Lord declares, but it is not I who have spoken? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken falsehood and seen a lie, therefore, behold, I am against you, declares the Lord God. But as I said, it was not just the men who were standing up. There were women who were seeking for their own profit, for handfuls of barley, we read in verse 19, and fragments of bread. And they have disheartened the people. They had put some to death who God would have wanted to live, and others who were utterly wicked, who were utterly distasteful and hated in God's sight, they were encouraged. God says, verse 20, I am against your magic bands which you hunt down lives there as birds. They were going after them. They were seeking their own profit. How that goes on and on once again today. Here is God's verdict on foolish and false prophets. And God once again repeatedly says, I want my name to be known. Time and time again, he comes with this refrain, thus you will know that I am the Lord. Who is the Lord? He is the one who is merciful to those who call upon his name. He's the one who cares for the meek and the lowly. He cares nothing for those who are puffed up and pompous and so proud and arrogant and thinking that they can make do just fine in their own strength. God wants to know. God wants people to know who he is and that he is the God of heaven and earth. He is the God of heaven and earth. Jesus Christ came to live among us. And even as we read out of Deuteronomy, Moses prophesying of another prophet who would come, like unto him. Jesus most certainly far surpassed anything that Moses was. Yes, Moses was the one who brought the people out of their physical bondage. Jesus is the one who comes and brings us out of our spiritual bondage. He's the one who brings us to God, even as Moses brought the people there to meet with God at Mount Sinai. Jesus is the one who really is the prophet who we are looking to and the one who we adore. Have you come to this prophet, one who is far more than just a prophet, such as Elijah or Ezekiel or Jeremiah or Isaiah, good and godly men, but they don't hold a candlestick to Jesus. He is the one. And Jesus, as I said, was the one who said, "By their fruits you shall know them." What was the greatest fruit of Christ's life but that he came from heaven's glories? And though many people were dazzled by the miracles that he worked and the parables that so interested them and all of the other things, the greatest fruit was that he is bringing many sons to glory. Through the shedding of his blood, he cleanses, he brings those who knew nothing of life, he brings them to himself. And the call is extended even today, 2,000 years later. If you want life, if you want to know what heaven is like, if you want to know joy, if you want to know life abundant and eternal, not an easy life, but an abundant and everlasting life, Christ is to whom you come. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Lord, we give you thanks and praise for your word. We give you thanks that it speaks to us about the task of preaching, and that it is by sounding forth not man's word, but your word, that people live or die. And Lord, may there also be a very careful understanding of your word coming to us. When we are at odds, when we are at counterways to your word, of course, we are going to naturally be drawing back from it. We will run from it, even as Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, hiding from you. We will run from your word when we are at cross paths with your desire for our lives. We'll be like Jonah, running off to the farthest place we can think of. But Lord, I pray that we would come to your word and say, "Lord, what is it that you would say?" May we ever be eager to hear faithful preaching, faithful proclamation, which takes your word and sounds it out, which makes it known. So, Lord, let this be true of us, that whatever other ears tune into, that we would tune to the word of God and delight in it. And even when it comes with a stern word, that it would be like delicious food, that it would be like refreshing drink that brings us back once again to your ways and to your will. I pray for any man or woman here today who does not know you. I pray that they would come to know you, who to know is life everlasting. I pray that you would so work in hearts and lives, drawing them to the cross, and Lord, that they would realize that it is by your death they go free. And as they call upon your name, as they become your true disciple, that they know what life was intended to be, and their name is in heaven's book. So work among us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.